turn back to Matthew 13, where we were at this morning. Did everybody get an outline paper? Who wants one? Does anybody need one? Let's pray before we begin to look at God's Word. Our Father, every one of us could say very confidently what we were singing, that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The only reason that we have persevered in the faith so far is because you are at work within our hearts. You have placed us in your hand, and no one can snatch them out of thy hand. Lord, we pray that as we would consider your word this afternoon, that you would use it to strengthen us in the faith, that you would continue your work within us, that we would bear much fruit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you notice on your outline, it begins with a quiz. So we're going to start with a quiz. So this morning we turned here to Matthew 13 and we considered the first parable that Jesus gives in the chapter that having to do with the seed in the soils. Here's the quiz. Without looking, don't look. How many parables are in chapter 13? This is the easiest question. Michael, there's seven parables. Good for you. Okay, now the question gets a little bit hard. Who can name the names of the parables? Who knows what the parables were about? You can just take a stab. Go ahead, Jack.
What they were about?
Yeah, well, not so much what they were about, just what you would call each one of those parables. So the first one is the seed in the soils. What would you...
I was just going to say that
they're about the kingdom of God. That would have been a good answer. Yes, every one of them was about the kingdom of God. Nobody will venture to say what they were? I'll venture to say it because I have them all written down in front of me. So you have the one on the soils, then you have the tares. That's a very vital parable to consider, the wheat and the tares, because those tares, until harvest time, they resemble the wheat, but they're not. Then you have the leaven. You can imagine the leaven, the loaf mushrooming, just like the kingdom does. Then you have another one about the mustard seed. You have the treasure in a field. You have a pearl of great price that was found. Finally, you have the fish net. Okay, here's one more quiz. This is more general. But Jesus told over 30 parables. Just off the top of your head, can you think of any of them? Jay?
Parable of the rich young ruler.
Yeah, okay, the parable of the rich young ruler. There you go. Michael?
The Good Samaritan.
The Good Samaritan. Even the world knows about the Good Samaritan. They haven't got a clue what it means, but they all know about it. Jay?
The Pharisee and the tax collector.
I don't know if that's narrowly defined as a parable. Parables, the definition I'm going to give it is somewhat of a narrow definition. It could be broader. Dennis?
The 5
Yeah, there you go. 10 versions. Juan? There's one more in that chapter. Lost coin, lost sheep. Something that was lost. Well, you got two of them. The lost coin, the lost sheep, and
the lost son.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually all leading up to that. Okay, let me mention a few of them to you. Like I say, there's well over 30. Yeah, the two sons, remember, one didn't want to go do what his father said. The other one said he would and didn't. Two sons, the wicked workers in the vineyard, the 10 virgins, an unmerciful servant, the hired workers that were sent out into the vineyard, you know, at different times of the day, emphasizing grace. The invitation to the wedding banquet and somebody being found there with no wedding clothes on. The mystery of the growing seed. The faithful and the unfaithful servants. Those who were entrusted with talents. The unexpected return of the master. New cloth on old garments. New wine in old wineskins. The one about the two debtors. Very, very important one. Obviously, all of them are important. This one, even the children know, the house built on a rock and a house built on sand. The friend that came at midnight, I'll tell you something, I don't know if it was carnal, but it's helped me to remember that parable all these years. We're going back many, many, many years when Mrs. Lozon was still with us. And I was preaching through the parable. So we're going back an awful long time. We came to that parable. And so to illustrate it, my illustration was going to the Lozon home and pleading with Mrs. Lozon for a pie. Now, what was carnal about that is because she made me a pie the next week, and I knew she would. But see, it's helped me to remember that parable. The other one about a successful farmer, he was a fool because he wasn't rich towards God, the unfruitful fig tree, the place of honor at banquet, shouldn't rush to it, the excuses for not coming to the king's banquet, the shrewd manager, how he made deals with all of the ones who were indebted to the master, the persistent widow, and that gives us around 30. An enjoyable Bible study that I would highly recommend to you is make a list of all of the parables. And you can go on to the internet and you can very, very quickly find the list of all Jesus' parables. But then read the parable itself and then see if you understand what it's talking about. And I would say to gain the understanding of almost all of the parables, you need the context of it as well. So, for instance, the one that we just looked at, Jesus tells the disciples what the parable was all about. But I think you'd find that a very enjoyable Bible study. Listing the parables and then seeing how many of them you understand what Jesus was teaching by them. And what that'll do, to a degree anyway, it'll demonstrate the study that we're going to look at this afternoon. And that's the question, why Jesus taught in parables. So just before looking at that, and I want to emphasize really, this is a super short Bible study. I think it's a super, super short one. So just a quick review. So you had the seed and the different kinds of soil. The seed, it's the gospel. The soils are the hearers of the gospel. Jesus said there was four different kind of hearers. And it pretty well covers how anyone's going to hear it. So you have the hard ground here. That's the one that basically hears the word of God with just total indifference. Doesn't mean anything to them. The stony ground here, they hear the gospel and they respond to it. And it looks like they become a Christian. Everybody's filled with joy that this person's become a Christian, but then they fall away. Thorny ground here. These also respond to the gospel. They profess faith in Christ. And there's no indication in the parable that these fall away. It seems like they continue because only gradually do they get choked to death. The problem with them, of course, is they don't bring forth any fruit. They love the pleasures and the treasures of this life rather than loving the Lord Jesus. The danger of this one is they go through life thinking they're Christians, and they'd go to their grave thinking that. And that's when they discover they were not. Jesus speaks of those in the Sermon on the Mount, where they say, "Didn't we not do this? Did we not do that in your name? Depart from me. I never knew you." They went to the grave thinking they were safe. They were not. And Jesus emphasizes they were workers of iniquity. They weren't bringing forth any fruit. Then the last, the good ground here. It's a good ground because God has prepared that ground to receive the gospel. This is the individual. They will grow in their love for Christ. They will grow in their love for Christ's people. There will be a commitment to Christ. They will want to serve Christ. They will make sacrifices, whatever is necessary, in the service of the Lord Jesus. They'll struggle against sin. They'll grieve when they sin against the Lord. Increasingly, they will be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this afternoon, we're looking at that one question, and doing so briefly, is why Jesus taught in parables. Now, if you immediately said, well, it's to make spiritual truths more understandable, you would be half right. So let's look at the explanation Jesus gives in verse 10 of Matthew 13. We're going to read to verse 17. And the disciples came and they said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and he said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall be given even more, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You'll keep on hearing, but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but you'll not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I shall heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it.'" So in verse 11, Jesus speaks of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Mysteries, those are truths contained in the Old Testament, but not understood. In that sense, they are called mysteries. Now those mysteries are clearly revealed in the New Testament. And so we know these mysteries. MacArthur says in Scripture, "Mysteries refer to the revelation of something previously hidden and unknown. New Testament mysteries are therefore revelations and explanations of divine truths that were not revealed to saints under the Old Covenant." And that comes out later here in the context of what we're reading. Now he says the mysteries pertain to the kingdom of heaven. That's exactly the same thing as the kingdom of God. The kingdom is spoken of 12 times in this chapter. And so as Jay was saying a few minutes ago, all seven of those parables that Jesus told in that chapter, they are kingdom parables. They all pertain to some aspect of the kingdom of God. Now the Jews, as we know, they anticipated an earthly kingdom where Israel would become the world superpower. They thought that because they didn't understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And so when they listened to the parables of the Lord Jesus, they did so with their own concept of what the kingdom was all about. And so they didn't understand what he was talking about. So you think of any of these parables in this particular chapter, if you have that mindset of Israel being a world superpower, you're not going to understand anything about those parables. And that was the situation that the Jews were in. So these all pertain to the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom, the Lord Jesus presently reigns on his glorious throne in heaven, and also in the hearts of his people. In Luke 17, It says this, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst, or that can be translated, the kingdom of God is within you. It's the reign of Christ in the hearts of his people. Colossians 1:13 also speaks of this. It's a spiritual kingdom. It says, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Albert Barnes says, Christians have been transferred from one kingdom to another. They become subjects of a new kingdom. They are under different laws and belong to a different community. This change is made in regeneration, by which we pass from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the empire of sin, ignorance, and misery to one of holiness, knowledge, and happiness. William Hendrickson said, wherever God is truly recognized and honored as king, there one finds his kingdom or his kingship. So there's a spiritual realm in which is the kingdom of God. And secondly, the kingdom of God is going to be gloriously manifested when the Lord Jesus comes back and rules over the entire universe, and we behold him and all become subject to him. So the spiritual kingdom one day is all going to be manifested gloriously. So all of these parables pertain to the mysteries of that kingdom. Now, the purpose of parables, as we said, it was to reveal spiritual truths and also to hide those truths. Notice verse 11 again. It says, he answered and he said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Only the disciples were given the meaning of the parables. The unbelieving multitudes, they were left without any understanding. So they heard the story. They had no idea how that pertains to the kingdom of God. So parables, they're a means of grace to believers. They simplify and clarify spiritual truths. They are also a means of judgment upon unbelievers as they actually obscure and hide spiritual truth. Now, God's judgment, it falls upon those who willfully reject God's truth. That's suggested in verse 15, where it says, they have closed their eyes. They closed them. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want to see Christ as their promised Messiah. Even though he's fulfilling all of these scriptures, they don't want to see him as the Messiah because he's not the kind of Messiah that they wanted. Likewise, his kingdom, not the kind of kingdom that they wanted. So they reject him. They willfully rejected him. And it says again in verse 15, for the heart of this people has become dull. They didn't want the understanding. So because they refused to humbly respond to the word of God, over time, their hearts became hardened to the word of God. And that left them unresponsive. In verse 12, it says, what they had would be taken from them. How God takes away what they already had, that's found in the quote that you have here, from Isaiah. This is a remarkable text, particularly when you read it in Isaiah. So verses 14 and 15. He says, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you'll keep on hearing, but you'll not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you'll not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts in return, and I should heal them. Jesus here is quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. What's fascinating about this is That was God speaking at Isaiah's ordination service when Isaiah was formally called to the prophetic ministry. God was telling Isaiah that Israel would not respond well to his preaching. That's his ordination service. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being at an ordination service of a pastor and some preacher gets up and tells them, you preach your heart out, but nobody's going to listen to you? That's what God was telling Isaiah. It was a prophecy. More than that, it would be the result of Isaiah's preaching by which the people's heart would become callous. What made Israel's hearts increasingly hard to God's word? Of all things, it was hearing God's word. When someone hears God's word and refuses to respond to it, their heart becomes harder towards it. Do you see why we should be begging God to save those who come here every Sunday, week in and week out, and they listen to the word of God? Something's happening there. Something is happening to their hearts as they hear God's word. Their hearts are becoming increasingly harder. And the Bible teaches us the more they know, the greater the judgment will be if they don't obey God. It's scary. It's very, very frightening. John MacArthur says all men are either progressing or regressing spiritually. No person remains static in his relationship to God. The longer a person knows and is faithful to Christ, the more his Lord is faithful to reveal his truth and his power. The longer a person rejects the knowledge of God that he has, whether much or little, the less of God's truth he'll understand. Willful human rejection leads to divine judicial rejection. When a man says no to God, God says no to that person. God confirms men in their stubbornness and binds them with their own chains of unbelief. So when the gospel is being preached in this church, it'll be having an effect upon believers, softening their hearts, causing them to cherish Christ that much more. But it's also having an effect upon those who are hearing it and willfully rejecting it. Their hearts are gradually become harder, and God's judgment's going to fall upon them ultimately, unless the Lord hears our prayers and saves them. So two things are happening when people were listening to the parables or listening to the word of God at any time. The parables particularly revealed, clarified spiritual truth to those who believe, but also hid those spiritual truths to those who don't want to hear it. It was God's judgment upon them. Now, I said just a few minutes ago the study would be short, and so it's short. So we're coming to the conclusion, and we're going to conclude with just 2 points. First of all, verse 9, Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Today we might say, listen up. John Legg, he says, Jesus presses on his hearers the need to think clearly and respond carefully. The point here is that reading the Bible without pondering what you are reading, it's of very little profit. Now, I wouldn't say it's of no profit. There is profit in just sitting down and reading the Word of God. There's profit in that because it's the Word of God. But it's of little profit in comparison. It's vital to understand what you're reading and then to consider how it applies to your life. So you think about the disciples here. They heard the parable, but they didn't understand it. That means they had not profited from what they heard any more than the unbelievers had profited until the Lord Jesus sat down with them and he explained it to them. Then they had understanding. So read the scriptures with a goal to understand what you're reading, and with that, to apply the scriptures. Bishop Ryle says, the gospel which we possess was not given us only to be admired, talked of, and professed, but to be practiced. It was not meant merely to reside in our intellect and memories and tongues, but to be seen in our lives. And you might remember the parable of the seed and the soils. It was that last ground. Remember, it bore fruit. And that's what we're looking at here. So as we read the scriptures, we want to understand what we're reading, and we want to apply what we're reading. And that's when the fruit's going to come by the grace of God. Secondly, we should realize how blessed we are that we understand the scriptures. Now, obviously, we don't understand the scriptures as much as we would love to. But keep in mind, you understand more of the Word of God than most people do in the entire world. That's a radical thought, but you do. Verse 11, it says, he answered and he said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verses 16 and 17, he says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. Peter, he picks up on that thought in 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, where he says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, they made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Your eyes, your ears, your understanding, you're blessed. You've been blessed by God. What was hidden for 4,000 years, even as the scriptures were being written, it wasn't understood. Adam and Eve, the first promise given to them, they didn't understand it. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they long to understand what you do understand. David, who wrote so many of the Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of the prophets, they long to understand what they were writing about. They long to understand what you understand. But they didn't have that full understanding. So much of it was a mystery to them. But it's not a mystery to us anymore. God has blessed us. To us, he's given to understand the scriptures. Think of what that means today. While literally billions of people around the world, they don't know the gospel, so many of those billions have never heard of the gospel, you know it, and by God's sovereign mercy, you also believe it. And the only reason that you know it and you understand it and have embraced it is because Jesus says here in verse 11, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's all of God. It's all of God. What does that mean to us? It means we shouldn't take the scriptures and what we know, we shouldn't take it for granted. We should cherish our Bibles more than we do. And we should be diligently reading and studying it so we can bear some 30, some 60, and even 100-fold in growing in Christ Jesus. May God help us to do so.